Well, we didn't hear much cheer last night. We were ready to cheer, but, you know, shutout's not going to lead to many cheers. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494.
Foul ball coming close to us was by far the most exciting part of the entire game.
You're right. All right, we'll get to all the stuff from last night shortly in the Phils. Let me just say this on Hurts and then right to the calls. It does drive me nuts when people say the Eagles have to give Hurts a shot. They don't have to. They are choosing to give him a shot. He has a great shot. He has a remarkable opportunity, but he has to prove that he's worth building around. And fair or unfair, he has to prove it kind of quick because, you know, the clock's ticking and they're going to make another decision after 15 games whether he should be the quarterback next year. And given what I sense are his current limitations in the passing game, I am skeptical that he'll become the guy worth building around.
He's got, yes, there are limitations in the passing game. I am not blind to this concept. I am aware. I am also a lot more bullish on his maximizing our running game.
It helps.
Our team will look different when Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Our team will transform into something more like the Baltimore Ravens offense. And that's, in some people's mind, that's where this league is headed. So you got to take the good with the bad right now, right? I love the fact that we have the second most rush yards in the NFL. We have the second highest yards per carry in the NFL. We have the fifth most rushing attempts in the NFL. This is from a team that just didn't run the ball nearly enough with Doug Peterson. We got the third most rushing first downs in the NFL. You know, we're tied for the second most 20-plus yard rushes. We are running the heck out of the football, and in large part, that's due to Jalen Hurts either running it himself or pulling defenders or, you know, maximizing our, you know, deciding to run the ball against the appropriate looks. He's doing a great job in some areas that we are unaccustomed to watching.
I don't disagree
with
that.
So, yeah, I know that, like, he missed Devontae Smith deep. But he also ran for a ton of first downs. Like, I'll take the good with the bad. It's going to look different. But we can win with Jalen Hurts.
All right, let's go to the phones and see where people stand at 215-592-9494 as you evaluate Hurts within this season. Steve kicks us off. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I got to disagree with you 100% because, first of all, Jalen Reagor, you have to go through that defensive guy when he's trying to push you out of bounds like he did. That was totally his fault. Any receiver knows, and I played wide receiver in high school, and I was taught by my coach, you never, ever put yourself in a position to get pushed out of bounds.
Right.
That's number one.
Right.
And it was a dime he dropped in on that pass, Jalen
Hurston.
Also, the pass to Quez was perfect. 91 yards down. We get first and goal. And if it wasn't for crappy play calling down there, I'm sorry. 4 times 9 inches, quarterback sneak, you have a touchdown. This guy talks about dog mentality. He called plays like a kitten because I can't use the word I want to use.
Oh, buddy.
Good line.
That actually is kind of a good point. Like, dog mentality in my mind, first and goal from the one is – you pound it.
Nah, that's not what dog mentality
is. I'm with you,
is.
Richie.
I don't agree with that.
I do.
We know what you think dog mentality is.
Guys, Zach Ertz, he could have hit him. I mean, I get it, James. It's a ha-ha. We can revisit that. But the reality is Zach Ertz was he had a half a step on his guy, and Hurts should have zipped him in and hit there on first down.
Oh, what a coulda, shoulda.
John,
you don't know the way that the lanes looked, the passing lanes looked.
Come on, man.
I will.
You're being soft. You're being soft.
You're being hypercritical, and Jalen Hurts is doing so much more than expected in some areas.
Yeah, well, they scored 11 points.
You're right, and that's a great defense. Well, not a great defense. That's a defense that is good to start with. They were banged up, and I thought they would have serious deficiencies, and they were able to somehow avoid those deficiencies by bringing in, you know, Josh Norman did a kind of good job.
All right, let's get
the rookie did a kind of good job.
Yeah, I thought the corners for them did play pretty good. Joe in Mayfair. Joe, you're on WIP.
Can I talk to Helen Keller, please?
I don't know. Where is she?
Right, who just answered it? Right, you. You got to be
Helen Keller.
Though. Yes, you got to be deaf, dumb, and blind.
Okay. Well, I mean, all I do is spit truth and wisdom. But yeah, go ahead.
So it's Jalen Hurts' fault Rager steps out of bounds. It's Jalen Hurts' fault that the offensive line had 7+ penalties. It's Jalen Hurts' fault that they got a field goal blocked. It's Jalen Hurts' fault they don't give the ball to Howard at the first and goal line to bowl in for a touchdown with our offensive line, which is phenomenal at run blocking. They don't do that. It's Jalen Hurts' fault that Barnett gives a 15-yard penalty when we would have gotten the ball back with 3 minutes to go. And you know how Hurts was on the drive before that when you put the ball in his hands, when you don't have time to sit back in the pocket and just overthink he made plays. Yes, he missed a couple of throws. But a blocked field goal is his fault,
absolutely,
Joe.
The blocked field goal is not his
7
fault.
7 offensive penalties in the first half is his fault. The Rager play is his fault. The play calling in first and goal at the 1's his fault.
Well, I mean, okay, Joe, listen. Hold on.
So I don't want to hear it.
All right. He's talking too much. So let me go here. Obviously, most of what Joe said is not his fault. But again, I'm going to come back to the first and goal at the 1-yard line. Zach Ertz was open. He didn't pass it to him initially. He waited. He rolled right. He rolled. He then passed it near him, but incomplete. That is a mistake by the quarterback in a moment where the Eagles could have been up 10-0. That's a fact. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's not Jalen's fault also that they kept Goddard in 65% of the plays to block.
You're right.
Okay, so if Jalen Hurts doesn't have all his weapons in the passing game and they're taking away other things, what do you want him to do?
Well, let me give you one idea what I want to do. I want him to pass the ball to Devontae Smith across the middle of the field. How about that?
Is he running across the middle of the field?
What are you talking about? You don't think Devontae Smith runs across? You don't think Devontae Smith runs across the middle of the field, John?
I'm saying I don't know. I saw Devontae Smith run a lot of routes. He ran across the middle of the field. I can't believe I'm looking at that play you're talking about with Zach Ertz. Okay. Like, he should have thrown the ball.
Yeah, it's there.
No, Fred Warner was covering him. He was one step behind him. He can step right in front and put his hand and knock the ball down or intercept it.
Give it a shot, John.
Give it a shot.
It was likely a touchdown.
First and goal from the 1. You don't try to squeeze it in, especially when you've got another defender you've got a defender in the path of the ball in addition to Fred Warner.
Then he's too short.
He's short, but that's a lot of quarterbacks are short. Russell Wilson short. Drew Brees was short. He's got limitations because he's short, but he can learn to work around them. It is a work in progress. I don't think it's fair to second guess when he threw and when he didn't, because you don't know what he saw. What the play was designed to do.
Well, we do. The play was designed to get the ball to Zach Ertz.
We're talking about Devontae Smith over the middle all this stuff. Okay. He doesn't, like, okay. You need to see the plays, see what's called, see who's open.
Hold on, James. Let's talk about Devontae Smith over the middle. Do you guys really think the Eagles played an entire football game? And yes, they didn't have as many snaps as they normally would have. On offense, they had less than normal because they didn't have the ball for a ton of time. Do you really think they played an entire football game and Devontae Smith did not have patterns over the middle of the field?
I'll let you know.
He might not have been open, Joe.
Use common sense.
Try to throw it to a guy who's not open, Joe? Just for the sake of throwing it over the middle?
Do you think Devontae Smith was not open for the entire football game across the middle?
If he were open, he would have gotten the ball.
No, I don't think so.
And you seem to automatically jump to this assumption that because a pass wasn't completed over the middle to Devontae, it's Jalen's fault?
You guys are falling right into the trap of apparently Jalen Hurts can't be criticized. What in the world are we doing here?
No, it's fair to criticize him fairly.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't play a great game, but he did some things great.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
And to – look, this idea, I think you're taking it way too far, and I think you're going overboard with the nitpicking of now, like, limited. You're saying he didn't throw it to this part of the field enough.
Well, he didn't.
Like, he has to work within the framework of the offense, and we don't know that framework.
We certainly do not have full understanding.
I know that the 49ers took away what we wanted to do.
Which is what, screens? Wide receiver
screens?
Yeah, the
shorter stuff. Get it out fast, get it out quick. Yeah, that stuff on the periphery. Yeah. They took that away. They're playing bump man. They're getting after him with the pass rush. So it was adjustment time on the sideline during the game, and it didn't look like just Jalen Hurts was out of sorts. I think the coaching staff was struggling to find plays that worked against those looks. It's not all the quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a good young player.
All right, let's go to
I'll put my faith in him for a little bit longer than you will, apparently.
Apparently. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Joe DeCameron, you are officially a jackass.
Well, first off, Chuck. Oh, he hung up.
That was it. He just came in hot.
I swear to God.
The mic drop.
I did not touch that.
What a call.
He hung up.
What a call.
That's a good
drop.
Bravo. That's a good drop right there.
Yeah, I know. All over.
I mean, an all-timer.
It's a useful one.
No.
Like there's a lot of utility.
And then like Ben Simmons, he ran like a fraidy cat. Let's go to Hudson and Haddonfield. Hudson, you got to follow that one up.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to follow up. I just wanted to get my thoughts on the game and how Hurts' performance. I didn't mind Hurts' performance. Yeah, he missed a lot of balls over the middle, and he's got to look for Smith a little bit more. But I didn't mind the rushing. I think he is a young player. He's still getting a feel of it. I think the whole team's trying to get a feel. We're very young. I need to see a little more leadership from the older guys. That's pretty much all I have. Besides that, fuck Ben Simmons. He can go to hell.
215-592-9494. Joe DeCameron, John Rich. Right, we have a pair of tickets to give away today to see WWE Friday Night SmackDown, September 24th. See Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch, Edge, and others. More live at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets start at just $20 at wellsfargocenter.com. John, a notable date in the history of broadcast television. It was 51 years ago tonight that Monday Night Football debuted in 1970. And I'm guessing, I don't know what the first game was, but I'm guessing the NFL did a better job of scheduling that first game as something intriguing than last night giving us the Detroit Lions. I mean, what a joke. Yeah. NFL's really got to get its act together with these Monday night games because don't sell me on trying to draw me in to watch.
It's amazing that happened this early.
This early in the season,
the Lions are the best you can give us.
It's pathetic. It really is. But when Monday Night Football came along in the 70s, and you and I, John, grew up in the relatively early days of it, sort of like 10, 12, 15 years into the making of Monday Night Football, it was a huge part of American television. And certainly when it came in 1970, it was a major innovation in television. And, John, I'm curious from you and from Seltzer and everyone today, 215-592-9494, as we give away these tickets to WWE Friday Night SmackDown, which is happening at the Wells Fargo Center, I'm curious what's the biggest innovation in television history. What is it?
Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, the making of the television was a big innovation. I got it. All right.
Yeah.
The making of the TV. John, give me something else, because through the decades, there have been for, you know, not 100 years, but I guess getting sort of close to it, 75, 80 years, whatever the heck it would be, there has been continuous evolution and innovation within TV. John, when you think of the biggest innovation in TV history, maybe you're going...
There's some huge ones
Rushmore.
Out there.
What
I think this is the hugest, and I need to take it off the board because it is hard to beat.
Okay.
And there were still black and white TVs when I was a kid.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's nowhere close to as cool watching a black and white TV. It just, you don't even want to watch.
Yep.
The color, the evolution of color, incorporating that was a massive step in the tube.
Very big answer. And I think a necessary answer to take off the board. James, give me something big innovation.
Yeah, mine wouldn't be a winner, but it's similar to Richie's in the sense that it completely changed the way we watch television, and certainly big for us in the sports world. High def has totally changed sports.
Yeah, it has. Look, there's a lot of ways to go here. I want everyone to put your thinking cap on. There's types of shows. There are types of channels. Listen, satellite TV, the whole idea of satellites – obviously, dramatically changed television. But there's little things. Like, I'll just say this one. The remote control was a big answer. I mean, John, you and I grew up.
Yeah.
James, do you remember having to get up to change the channel?
So I remember my dad having to get up to change the channel. Me personally never did it. But yes, I remember very early in my life.
John and I did
absolutely
that.
Absolutely remember.
We were right at the cutoff where it changed from not remote control to remote control.
I remember having the first remote control that we had when we first got Prism.
Yep.
There was a cord that attached it to the back of the TV, and it was a dial. Like, it wasn't, you didn't punch buttons in. There was a wheel on the bottom of the thing that you would turn to change the channel.
Very cool. All right, give us a great innovation in the history of television, the best answer by the end of the show. Because Monday Night Football was a big one. I mean, unfortunately, it's lost a lot of luster, but that was a big one back in the 1970s. What's a great innovation in TV history? Best answer by the end of the show, the person is going to win the tickets to WWE SmackDown. Let's talk to Ron and Monco right now. Hey, Ron.
Morning.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Ron.
Guys, my impression, my whole impression of this team that I took away Sunday was this team's just too small. I mean, all your quote-unquote skilled players are small, and they're all not that fast. So, I mean, you're gonna have issues.
Well, they're pretty fast.
I think the speed is what they were focused on addressing.
They shut down. Smith got shut down the whole game. Okay, that's why he didn't catch nothing, and he did go across the middle, and he was,
I actually just saw a completion to Devontae Smith. It was his 7-yard hitch over the middle.
Listen, he's not going to make a living at going across the middle. I can tell you that.
No, you don't really want him doing that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but Ron, I'm not talking the Michael Irvin's type routes. I'm talking the shallow crossing routes that happen frequently in college football. I mean, that's
Joe.
No, I know the guys are bigger. I know the guys are bigger.
It's not college football. Okay, they're gonna. They're going to knock his block off. And
not going to run crossing routes against zone coverage.
Hey, Ron, Tyreek Hill is really small, man, and I see a lot of successful crossing routes.
Different. Tyreek Hill is built like a running back. He's completely different.
And you're talking about the fastest guy on the planet. That's what you're talking about.
You're right about that. Yep.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's what I'm doing. Okay. First of all, you guys are forgetting something amongst all this bickering.
Right.
This is a rebuild. Okay, and you got to keep that in mind. It's a rebuild, and if they can go out and just beat the bad teams this year, you got to be happy about it. And they got to, Howie has built this offense in his image. They're all Smurfs, And you know what I'm doing?
What?
I'm going to create a package. It's going to be called the Jumbo Max package, and that's Mailata. When you get within the 5-yard line, he's behind the quarterback. That's what I'm doing. And he can carry the whole defensive line into the end zone. Because that's what you're going to have to do with this team. You're going to have to improvise.
Ron, I'm amazed that Jeffrey Lurie didn't hire you to be the head coach in this past coaching
search.
I'm telling you. Ron, give me a great innovation in television history.
Soap operas.
You got it. 215-592-9494. They're not quite as big as they were 20, 30 years ago, right, Gus? I mean, they were.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, I never hear about them anymore, and I used to.
I agree. I don't ever hear about them. And, let's see if we can name six. General Hospital.
That was the one that I was going to say.
Days of Our Lives.
World Turns.
Oh, yeah. Look
at
you.
That's three. We got to get to six.
Does it have to be a daytime soap?
Yes, daytime soap. Is One Life to Live a soap opera?
I think it is. Yeah.
I think it is.
That's four. Come on, guys. Two more.
Man.
You said General Hospital?
I said that one.
That was the first one I thought of. I got.
Isn't there one like Knowing or Loving or?
I don't know. Maybe we're out of bolts. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Also, our Twitter poll question of the day is brought to you by the Casino at Delaware Park. You can watch and wager on pro and college football at the Delaware Park Sportsbook, DelawarePark.com, lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, of these four, who do you blame most for the Phillies likely missing the playoffs? They lost again last night. They're three games back. They're probably not going to make it. Who do you blame most of these four? A, John Middleton. B, Dave Dombrowski. C, Joe Girardi. D, the players. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Now, notice we don't have Matt Klintak on this list, and perhaps he's the most culpable. But we're going with guys that are here. Middleton, Dombrowski, Girardi, or players. Obviously, Middleton's still part of the organization, but you know what I mean. His power was chopped away. We'll get into the Phils, the game from last night, and where they go from here all up ahead next. Plus, the Eagles calls. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. Hey, if you think I'm out of line on Hurts, you can voice that, but don't be afraid to criticize. Don't be afraid to criticize Hurts. Keep it real.
No, you know what, though? Criticize fairly.
Criticize fairly. That's all I'd do. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.